B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, two phones as promised. We did a little bit of different stuff in the first hour just to break it up. We hit on that Alex Spear story in the Globe about, well, long story short, the drive towards analytics on the pitching staff last year helped drive Dana Lavangie out of the job and distracted the team as they floundered in 2019. They to the point where they had to bring extra servers on the road to service their computers with fans to make sure that they didn't overheat. And basically, Dana Lavangie wanted to do his scouting reports by looking at film and looking at matchups, and the analytics guys were sent on the road with the team, and they have all these advanced metrics, super advanced now with the TrackMan technology and the, what's that other thing called? It's not just TrackMan, it's the TrackMan tech and StatCast.
StatCast.
The TrackMan systems via StatCast, and which basically gives you precise shapes and velocities and spin rates in very, very specific locations, which dwarfs what one individual can evaluate in preparation for a game. I'm reading right there in preparing for a game, reading right from Spear there. So there was this battle between the pitching coaches and the nerds over the game plans, to the point where Spear writes, there were disagreements about how to attack opposing lineups, arguments that sometimes consumed the coaching staff and led to actually less time being spent coaching the players. So the nerds are arguing with the pitching coaches over what the game plan is. Meanwhile, the pitchers are sitting there with twirling the ball like, what do you want me to do?
I know, brutal, right?
And so that's one of the reasons Lavangie is gone, because he's more old school. They're going to hire a guy that will be driven by the analytics department, and Carmine and the computers will set the game plans next year, and the pitching coach will follow suit because he will be a nerd.
Carmine weighs in on everything.
Thank you, John. And so there's that story. Just another example of baseball being taken over by robots.
I just hate that so much.
I'll tell you,
Carmine actually sits on the draft table in the war room.
Thank you, John.
I just want to add one other thing to this discussion that we didn't toss in earlier that I think is worthy of mention, which is you had read from that story earlier. Cora actually wanted an analytics guy on the road with the computer.
Yep.
In the clubhouse.
Yep. So they brought in Jeb Clark to follow and travel with the team.
So he actually, now this should tell you first how much the game has progressed, that where managers were resistant of it 20 years ago, now the manager wants the guy in the clubhouse. He wants him in there. And when I saw that, I said, there must have been an issue with Cora and Lavangie as the year went along. Because Cora, all Cora has done is talk about analytics since he got here, about how Houston did it. Now he wants the guy in the clubhouse. Meanwhile, Lavangie's been reassigned. So there had to be an issue there.
So
those two must have been button heads.
Again, they bring this nerd on the road to take part in game planning meetings. Spear says that on occasion, Lavangie and other members of the staff found their views running counter to the recommendations of the team's analytics department. Those disagreements at times consumed the energy of the coaches. According to multiple team sources, the staff spent more time this year hashing out disputes amongst themselves than they did in 2018, with the result that there was less time spent working with the players. So, there's that story.
Sales fastball was even slower than it appeared. 92.3 miles per hour actual versus 91.3 perceived. That's all due to releasing it closer to the plate. But he still takes too long in between pitches. Fix it.
So there you go. There's that. The Bruins win last night in their start, which is kind of impressive. I've been impressed with their edge and their competitiveness right out of the chute. I wasn't expecting it, and I think it could have easily gone the other way. Last night was a terrific game. If you watch it in Vegas, they get down 2-0 early to a very good team in a hard place to play, and you thought they're about to get run out of the building, and that's it. Scheduled loss, see you next night. And they came back and won that sucker. So that was kind of impressive. We even did some Celtics to break it up. So all that's on the table with your calls, I promised. So here we go.
Bob. David Price is a bitch. Trade him.
And Carmine's there as well. Here's Bob in Marble. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mark. I was talking about Brady being worried, and I think he's being worried. You get nervous. The season going on, they're 5-0, and they got the three next games to sure wins. But starting with the Ravens, you got the
So Eagles. Bob, you think Brady's worried about the upcoming schedule more than
he's lost his long receivers.
Okay, that's what it is. I'm going to cut you off. So that's what it is. That's why he's pissy, because he knows he's going to need more against the Ravens and the Eagles and teams like this. It's nothing to do with his own personal stats or production.
Oh, no, I think it's both. I think it's both. I think Brady looks at it and says, this is garbage. You know, I have less of a role and we're not playing well. I think it's both. I do. I don't think it's a singular thing, because I do think at the end of the day that Brady puts a premium on being able to win the big games against a good competition. And in order to do that, I think he believes he has to be a bigger part of it. So to me, they go hand in hand. Look, the fact is, though, at this stage, they've been defense heavy. They've been defense heavy, and he doesn't like that.
Yeah, and I asked this 3 weeks ago. Are you prepared? Are we prepared? Is the quarterback prepared for this to be a defense-first team and to win games that way? And so far, the adjustment for Brady has not been great.
A little bit bumpy.
So we'll see how long he stays in that. I thought he would have, shaken out of it by now, but he hasn't.
The Ben Watson thing, I think, is what kept it for another week. We kept him going for another week.
I think it's just the excuse. I think he's still there and he's using Ben Watson to amplify his continued discontent.
I mean, how many times has he said, I don't make those decisions? Whether it's Antonio Brown or the tight ends.
Tom, how do you feel you're developing a rapport with these guys? Well, it's not my, I'm just a quarterback. They tell me who to play with. Like, is that not just, Maz, what do you think of Felger? Well,
I just work with whoever they tell me to work with.
I mean, the program director puts them next to me, and I work with them. It's not.
Yeah.
That's
how a disgruntled employee sounds. Believe me. It's like hearing myself in the past when I've heard him talk in the last couple of weeks.
I mean, it really is.
Don't ask me. I just work here, man.
I know people are going to get mad when I say this. It's a douchey answer.
Oh, so bad.
It is. It's a douchey answer.
I just work with who I'm told to work with.
Exactly.
It's above my pay grade.
I think it's the worst he's said all year. Cam in North Carolina. Yes, Cam.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Not much. What do you got, Cam?
So you guys think there's any shot that our old buddy Matt Patricia in Detroit would be willing to part ways with their first-round pick, TJ Hawkinson, for Dante Hightower?
No.
With the depth that we have at linebacker?
Why? So why would they do that? Why would either of you do that? I mean, Hightower might need a pay cut a little. He's a little overpaid, but he's been one of your best defensive players. He looks like he's found the fountain of youth or something. He's showing more speed now than he has at any point in a long time.
He looks 5 years younger.
So he looks tremendous, and the Lions are contending. So why are they doing that?
No, they're not. And other thing is not to mention the money aspect of it. Hightower's expensive.
Thank
the kid's
you.
Relatively cheap.
It's on a rookie contract.
Yes. Like, I look at it. Do you remember last year when we were looking at Hightower and we said, look how slow he is. He can't catch guys.
He was awesome in the postseason. And he looks like he shot out of a cannon this year. But yeah, regular season last year, it looked like he was like hurt or just getting old or something.
He looks dynamite.
If you are trying to free up some cap space, though, and you have redundancy, especially on defense, see if you can trade Daron Harmon to him.
So Harmon's another one. Those are the two guys. When I just look at the payroll and I look at Michael Bennett's the 10th highest paid player. I'm sorry, Michael Bennett's the 6th highest paid player. Harmon's 10th. So they're both top 10. Bennett's played less than half the snaps, and you said Harmon was at 60-something percent?
Yeah, 68%, yeah.
Those are guys I would look at.
I don't know why the hell they need Harmon.
Yeah, but there's some institutional knowledge there. He knows the defense, knows how to work with Patricia. I just feel like that'd be a good fit on the surface.
So, yeah. No, for Detroit.
Yeah.
No, no, I meant here.
I'm with you here.
Please, you can unload Harmon in a second. Please,
Tony,
that guy.
Tony and Hollis. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, guys, I think Tom Brady is the biggest hypocrite, and someone should tell him to his face. One of his strengths throughout his career was how he would always pass the ball to so many different players. They'd have they'd have 6 guys caught passes this game, 8 guys caught passes. He would distribute it to everyone. Now he can only throw it to 3 guys.
I'm with you, Tony. He's changed. And this isn't the first time they've left him high and dry. They left him high and dry in 2006. Bad. And he hasn't carried on a tenth of what he does now. Not even, you never heard a word from him.
Well, he was, still at the front end of his career on that one.
So I'm just saying, that this is a different guy.
Yeah, I mean, the resume is a lot thicker now, so he probably feels more empowered to speak. And so, look, on some level, I understand his frustration. I get it. But I also think he's taken it too far. It's like every time he opens his mouth now, it feels like he's complaining. I feel like it's gotten worse in the last 2 weeks.
No question. Wayne in Grafton, give me a quick Bruins thought.
Yeah, Tuca, you know, it's like Tuca trauma. You know, he's got a history for this. I think he'll be okay. Maybe it's part of the Vegas flu. And I have a comment for Murray. I enjoy your bit on the fugitive. Actually, I have him here with a couple of battery cables hooked to his Schmenza calling Mikey's name. Help me, help me. I love you, Mikey.
Hey, Wayne, the same. Me too.
That Rask thing was weird last night.
How he collapsed at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
So, I mean, I wasn't up for it. I've gone back and watched it. He collapsed at the end of the game, basically.
He kind of buckled. Yeah. He folded, like, he right? It was weird.
He did.
So, like, you know, I mean,
it's hard not to think.
Yeah.
You know, he said
Vegas dehydration.
Yeah, exactly. Cassie said after the game that there was a chance he was dehydrated.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, Vegas flu with a dry heat. You know, it's a...
Seriously, though. I mean, Vegas is hot enough as it is, Murray. Absolutely. He had a couple of martinis in there, and here you go.
He was good last night, but last night went about him. It was about that first line waking up and just the overall compete and the edge that they carried into the game and how they've carried a little bit of an edge into the first week when, by all rights, you think they'd still be hungover. Like, and I mean Stanley Cup hungover, like the rest of us, and they're not. And it's kind of, on a very small little 1%, 1 out of 100 scale, kind of impressive.
I mean, that's one of those games, as early as it is in the year, that you look at them and you go, balls. That was ballsy. And to fall behind like they did, because it felt to me like they were going to get their helmets blown off. Like, that was completely coming apart. And those two goals, the first one that Pasternak scored, again, Bergeron stole the puck. Marchand made a pass between the defenseman's legs, and then Pasternak just basically, it was a redirect, essentially, but he flipped it in. And then the other one, that pass by Pasternak to Marchand off the boards.
Tremendous.
Mike, I said this earlier, it was like an air hockey game. You know how you bank the shots in off the board in air hockey?
Of course.
That's what it was like. That was ridiculous, that play. Not to mention the fact that Marchand then, you know, picked the corner on it. The whole thing was just, that's a different level. I'm sorry. There aren't a lot of guys in that league that can execute that kind of play with that type of efficiency. That was ridiculous.
We continue with your thoughts here on Felger and Maz. You know the number. You're all loaded up. We'll get right back to you after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Connection with Izzo and Lacoste improved over the course of it, and you feel more comfortable with the tight end situation having lost Watson?
Am I more comfortable?
Are you more comfortable with those? Because you lost Watson. Are you more comfortable now with those two guys in being able to fill that role?
I mean, it's just I'm the quarterback, so you know I don't make those decisions, and I'm who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with.
Are you more comfortable with your young tight ends? Whoever I'm out there with, I have to play with is the answer.
That's horrible. It really is. You said earlier it might be the worst thing he said all year. It might be the worst thing he said ever.
I mean, it's up there.
Hey, has he ever really criticized a teammate like that? You know, and I say criticized.
It's more like dismissed.
Yeah. Like, damning, but you know what I mean. Like, he just won't even acknowledge that the guy has any ability, either one of them.
Completely big times the guy.
Totally. Totally. I mean, that is really... I'd almost, if I were someone close to Brady, I would almost go up to him and say, dude, you should apologize to those two about that.
Quote, unquote, if LeBron James, you know, said, LeBron, are you getting any more trust with your young teammates? Well, it's not my job. I just play with who they tell me to play with, quote, said LeBron James. It's something totally he would say.
We would kill him.
And what would we do?
Yeah, Kyrie would say that.
We've been killing those guys for a decade for saying things like that.
Oh, it's so big time. It's just dismissive and downright disrespectful.
After a game where the tight end was actually a part of the offense. And I'm so again, maybe he's projecting. He's saying, yeah, right. We got some grabs out of the tight end this week, but that ain't going to work in Baltimore. That's not going to work against the real teams here in the playoffs. It's not good enough. And Brady might be right, but to him to, you know, publicly do that to his teammates, like, boy, that is...
It tells you how consumed he is with the absence of weapons.
Next level.
Because for all of his, you know, frustrations over this, over his career, he's never said anything like that. I don't think. I mean, I'd have to think about it, but I don't think so. And so the fact that it's coming out, he can't even filter it. Like, he couldn't.
Got to be real, man.
But he typically is good at filtering stuff. Like, we're hiding it a little bit.
Well, I mean, in pro sports and in sports in general, you got to support your teammates. So I'm not talking to a child. You understand this. At the podium, publicly, you have to support your teammates.
Yeah, it tells me his level of agitation with...
Well, it links to his business interest because TB12 is about his longevity, playing longer, boosting his stats. Again, he's my favorite player of all time, but I think this is linked. Because in 06, when he was left high and dry and has to play with... You know, the likes of Rashay Caldwell, you know, it was a lot different then. He didn't have those other business interests that he does now. He wants to keep playing. I do think he wants to try to play to 45. He's in a contract year, and this is what he has to work with. It doesn't benefit him. Yeah, they're 5-0, and they're likely going to win the Super Bowl again. But I don't know, how much is he really a part of it? And he's irked by it.
So this criticism of Brady by us leads to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Felga, I fucking hate you, and I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
This is addressed to Maz.
Oh,
Maz.
Yeah.
Says Sean and Quincy. I cannot stand your take on Brady having an ego and not liking the way the offense was running. Last time I checked, he cares about winning the most, all caps. Sure, he expects a lot out of himself, but that's why he was so down after the Buffalo game. He constantly talks about getting better, and when he doesn't, he has a right to be upset. Did he complain at all last season when they started running the ball? Nope. And he hasn't this year. He just wants to be better week in and week out. Care to respond?
Yeah. Last year, he wasn't in the final year of a contract. Last year, the defense wasn't nearly as dominating as it is now. I would say that in the last, and the other thing is, I don't know if the running game became the force it became until late in the year. So they were still.
It's so true.
They were still a pass first offense.
After the Pittsburgh losses, when they decided, we'll watch the do your job thing.
Yeah.
So was it week 16 and 17 is when they turned to Michelle.
They were still a pass first offense then. And if you want to say, well, they weren't doing well at it, you know, as well at it last year for chunks and he didn't complain, I would say, right, which means they were still throwing. Right. It was still he was still the centerpiece. I just think he's, you know, he's frustrated on multiple levels and it's OK. You can admit that he's human. I think winning's important to Brady, too. But they are 5-0. If winning's all that matters, then why is he upset?
But that thing he did yesterday to the tight ends, that's bad form. That's bad form. Sean and Quincy has a P.S. P.S. Maz, check out his social media, meaning Brady's social media. All he does is give credit to the defense, to the running game, and the offensive line. But not the kicker, because he blows. Okay, so that was Sean and Quincy, the Mimecast email of the day. Mimecast is the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T, Mimecast.com. Go to Mimecast.com. Today.
By the way, before you go to the calls again, because we mentioned the last couple of weeks, Brady wasn't really featured in the Patriots.com post-game
video. I know,
video.
I watched it this week.
Who was the first player you saw in this week's?
Brady.
Nice. Yep.
It's like that.
Walking
it's
off
like,
the field.
Yeah,
it's and then like, into the locker room when he embraces Kraft.
Almost like they were listening.
Love it. Okay. So we'll keep an eye on that for you as well. In the meantime, back to your phones. Here's our gal pal, Mary in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
Hey, guys. I said Tom Brady... one of the most unselfish players I've ever seen in my life. But this is almost his, like, do you know who I am moment. I think it really boils down to the fact that he never got to have that final Tom versus Time episode where they win the Super Bowl huge, the numbers are huge, and it was the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl when Bill took him away. So I think that he felt that the Antonio Brown move was his chance to kind of have those big stats, win big, go out huge, and finally make that last episode. That's my take.
So maybe, Mary, maybe he had it in his mind the way this year was going to go. His last year, maybe, or his contract year if he continues to keep playing, or whatever he had in his mind. And he had it viewed a certain way. I'm going out an MVP. You know, and you can't be an MVP throwing to Larry, and it's not Larry Izzo. What's the guy's name? Something Izzo. Frank Izzo. What's Izzo's name?
Ryan.
Ryan Izzo. Ryan, you can't win an MVP throwing to Ryan Izzo.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, Ryan. You know, you tripped me up with the old Izzo.
You know what? But Brady's the same way. Like that bum they've been making me throw to. I'm just a quarterback. I'm just a talk show host. I just talk about who they tell me to talk about.
Lizzo Izzo.
But maybe that's part of it. Because they have a winning team. They have a Super Bowl favorite. They have the best defense they've had in a long time. They're going to be right there. And he knows it.
But they're not offense first.
Right. So what's your problem?
It's that second thing.
You're not going to be an MVP candidate.
Yes, it's that they're not offense first. It's just the whole, I don't want to say identity of the team has changed. But on the field, the formula has completely flipped. Mike, again, I gave you these yardage numbers just because, as a quick thing, the average yards per drive. Okay, the average yards you gain per possession, basically, sure, in the NFL. The Patriots' offense, 22nd. 22nd. There are 21 teams in the league that gain more yards per possession than the Patriots. On the flip side, Patriots' defense, yards allowed per possession, first. And the net is first. And the net is first because the defensive numbers are so low that they overcome everything else.
Sure.
I mean, to me, if that doesn't tell you exactly how they're winning games and how just lopsided it has been here in the early part of the year, that's what he's agitated about. He's been de-emphasized a little bit.
Josh in Haverhill, hi.
Hey, Falco, what up, babe?
What do you got?
Maz, how do you feel about this, before we get to football, how do you feel about the baseball playoffs? Are you like, enthralled in this?
No. Joshua, honestly, I have found them this point, up until right now, to be really kind of boring. But I will say that the Game 5s interest me.
I'm looking forward to Thursday night game, Astros and Rays. But back to football, I mean, weeks 9 through 14 is where the rubber hits the road there. I see them coming out with two losses against those teams. I don't want to read down the schedule. You guys know it, but... if they don't add anything before the trade deadline, they're looking pretty rugged, man.
So 14-2, man. Rugged. Looking pretty right into the toilet, 14-2.
Rugged's too strong. It's not rugged.
That's just why I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at worst, this team is 14-2. I think at worst, they might drop a game or two in that stretch. Might. I have not taken 19-0 off the table. I have so little respect for the competition in the league right now. And I have so much respect for your defense and still how good you are and the gap at coaching that I still think I have not ruled out 19-0, but I don't see more than two losses for this team. So that rough patch is going to land you at 14-2.
So I want to see what it looks like when they play good teams. And I mean that defensively, right? Defensively.
Yeah, for sure.
But barring injuries, if you were going to go 17-0, wouldn't you have a better chance with a dominant defense and Tom Brady a quarterback than a great offense and an aging defense?
Yes. They did it in 07, but ultimately it caught up to them.
Well, so that's what I'm saying is that it eventually blew up. Eventually.
Yes.
I think this defense could play well every single week. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Real quick, Brandon in Boston waiting patiently for another baseball thought. Brandon, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, my thoughts about this game, because I'm a Dodgers fan, and Dave Roberts should have been fired last World Series, but check this out. This is what I want to know, your thoughts on this. So he pulls Rich Hill out, bases loaded. One hit, he puts, what's his name? Maeda?
Maeda, so Kenta Maeda, yeah.
Right. So he closes that out, right? Then he puts in Julio Urias. Now, if you look at
Brendan, what's your point? I'm sorry.
That's when the game. All right. So my thought is this: he keeps on making these mistakes. He goes to his bullpen too early when he does this.
Okay, so I'm just gonna cut you off. I think Dave Roberts is a dope, but I think Carmine makes the decisions in Los Angeles.
It feels that way. Yeah.
I think they've got the servers in the clubhouse and the fans cooling them down, and the nerds on the road. And I think they hand Roberts the game plan and the three ring binder, and he just does what the nerds tell him to do. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I think that there is a collaboration there and that he's on board with it. And when I say collaboration, I'm talking about with Friedman and the nerds and the whole nine yards.
Yes.
That totally. Did I hear right that they passed over Clayton Kershaw to pitch Walker Buehler in game five? Is that right?
That's actually a smart call, whoever made that call.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I find that one interesting, too.
Good. Yeah. They should. I think that's the guy.
I want them to lose. I want the Nationals. I've decided that. I want the Nationals and the Yankees in the World Series. That's what I've decided.
I want the Rays. I am spite rooting for the Rays like you read about, because they will make the Red Sox look so bad. A team in your division with a $60 million payroll. The team has the payroll of your two broken-down pitchers in Chris Sale and David Price. If that team wins the World Series, oh, what egg on their face. I need it. That's who I want. Go Rays.
Go Yankees.
I never believed David Price had a cyst on his wrist. He's a bitch.
That's right, Carmine.
So you don't think the Yankees rub it in the wounds?
Yeah, that's obvious because, you know, they obviously are the rival to the Red Sox. Red Sox fans hate the Yankees. The Red Sox themselves, the brass, they hate the Yankees. That would hurt. But the Rays, the irrelevant Rays, nobody cares about the Rays. They're in your division. They make $60 million payroll. Your two stud starting pitchers, broken down Price and broken down Sale, make the same amount as that whole team. Oh, please, go Rays. Let's go Tampa. Let's go Tampa. I need it. Spite root for the Rays. If you're down on the Red Sox like I am, that's who you want. The Rays.
I'm rooting for the
Rays. Suck. Murray, go back to Atlanta with your stupid bits.
Seriously, I want the Yankees.
Speaking of Murray, here comes his update when we come back. Guess who wants back in New England? We'll give you that story right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
Ow. Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hope you guys are having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
Well, he's not wrong about that piece to it, which is...
They still got to pay him.
They still have to pay him. If you brought Antonio Brown back, there's no extra money on your cap. There's no extra money on your budget. You're already paying him. The dead cap, it's already there. So,
and this has been the argument of some fans have called in, like, well, what the hell? I mean, you already invested the money. It's not like he can get it back. He's going to get it. He's talented. It would make Brady happy. Bring him back. But it's too late. He went too far. If nothing else, he went too far a few weeks ago on Twitter, shocker, when he took a shot at the owner. And then I think it was Ian Rappaport who, you know, from an unnamed source, gee, I wonder who it was. It was probably from the owner himself, saying it was essentially like over Robert Kraft's dead body. Will Antonio Brown get that money?
No shot. Well, no. Well, he's going to
get the time, it was about the money. But yeah, like he's not going to get another chance here.
No. Over.
And good. He shouldn't. He shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Over. But that keeps floating around out there. There's a floater out there, and his name is Antonio Brown.
You know what he's discovering? That no one else will bring him in. That's what he's discovering.
Oh, for sure. No question he's realized that. Jeremy in Westport, your thoughts.
Yes, how you doing? Yeah, you guys took the words right out of my mouth of what I was talking about. A question for you guys. How would that go? I know, like, he's already against the cap for this year. So how would the bonus money? Let's just say they brought him back, right? I know this is a long shot. The guy's a headpiece. I can agree with that. But let's just say they brought him back in, sat him down, and said, no more BS, this, that. But how would that go with the bonus money and all that?
They've already paid him the bonus money. He would come back a minimum salary, and it would be net nothing. You'd be pick up right where you left off, probably. So that's not the issue. No. The issue is that he's nuclear, and he torched himself on the way out of the building like he has every relationship he's had in the last year and a half. What makes you think it would work now? Nothing he has done has worked with anyone. He's blown up every relationship he's had, personal and professional, for a year and a half. You can come back and preserve this relationship?
No shot. No. Again, and look, even when they brought him in,
I'm telling you, fans are delusional.
They really are. Yeah, they are. as they are about most things, which again is fine. You know, I get it. You want the team to win. You want the best players possible because you don't have to deal with all the other stuff that goes with it. But they do. And I was surprised they brought him in the first place. But once they got him here, I thought, okay, they might be able to get 4 months out of it, and then that'll be it. They won't keep him beyond. They couldn't even get 4 weeks out of it. 11 days it took.
And you people still want him. It's unbelievable. Matt in Grafton. What do you got, Matt?
Hey, guys. Somewhat in Brady's defense and backing up what Matt said about the team's identity, this year's cap balance is 24th on offense and 3rd on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't played anything like that in a decade.
So?
Not even close.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, in terms of Brady's expectations, he should expect a top 10 or at least top 15, right? Top half of
Why?
The league offense.
No. The only thing he should be promised is a competitive team that has a chance to win. And this team has the best chance to win in the entire league.
Well, you said it was a team's identity not changing, but it is.
It's definitely changed. It's definitely so. But what's wrong with that?
Why should Brady be fine with that?
Because it's about the team. It's not about him.
No, he's got to win, right?
He is winning.
Matt, he is winning. Matt, I'm just going to let you go.
See, right. Again, people fall into it, and this is where it becomes about Tom versus team.
Exactly. People are like, well, you're leaving him high and dry. Yeah, a little bit. Well, you're not spending on offense to surround him. Yeah, a little bit. You're right. But the team is amazing. Their defense is by far the best they've had in a long time. They've devoted their resources on that side of the ball, and they're blowing doors. They're 5-0. They're the Super Bowl favorite, prohibitive favorite in Vegas. So what's the problem? It's not about building around Tom. It's about building the team. When did we lose it? Well, I mean, I think people have just, like, that caller does still didn't even, it doesn't even compute. Like, what do you mean the team?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about Tom. I know. I'm talking about the team, the Patriots.
No, because the default is we can't win without Brady. And look, you know, again, maybe they can. I'm not telling you they can win without
him.
Yes,
they can.
But
they've done it before. They can do it again.
They can win with a smaller percentage of Brady. And in fact, I have always felt when it becomes too much about Brady, that's when they're most vulnerable.
And I'm typically the Tom over team guy. But the defense is so good that you don't need, like, I was going into this season expecting it to be heavy on the run game. You know, just need him on third and got to have it set up some play action, just kind of like how we did in the postseason. I'm good with that. As long as he's here, as long as they're winning, they get another title, I'm happy. I don't need him to have like the big gaudy stats. Like, who the hell cares?
You're happy, but he ain't.
He's definitely not.
He's not.
So, like, I feel if they continue to play this way on defense, all Brady really needs to do, come through on third down in the big games. Like he did last year at Kansas City. Do the same thing.
Yes, for sure.
Do that and you're good. They didn't win the Super Bowl around Brady last year.
That's how you feel. How does he feel? Differently. Dave in Pembroke. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Mari, you'll appreciate this. I just smoked a nice sativa called Dominion Skunk, and I came up with this take.
Right.
Tom Brady's chasing his records. He's not going to retire until he's got he's considered the best in the NFL ever to play. I mean, he's 3,000 yards behind Drew Brees now. Right, but he's got nobody to throw to.
So wait, hold on. So,
I
don't want to like ruin your buzz, but it's about the stats for him because he's already considered the best ever, Dave. He doesn't need the stats for anyone to consider him that.
But isn't Tom Brady a perfectionist, and doesn't he want all the records? He's trailing Drew Brees by 3,000 yards, and Drew Brees is still playing. So doesn't he want that most passing yards? And then he rides off into the sunset, knowing that he. Not us, that he's the best quarterback that's ever played the game.
Okay, Dave.
That doesn't have anything to do with it?
No, I hope not, but this is what I've been asking. What?
I got to ask Murray again, which one's a sativa? Is that the upper or the downer?
Yeah, it's the upper, but I'm reading a little bit here about, Dominion Skunk. And it's a proprietary strain by Dominion Seeds. Dominion Skunk, a 60-40 indica-dominant cross. So he might have got that wrong. This is the one that keeps you down a little bit. The indica-dominant crossbreed between Skunk VA Chemdog and Skunk Number 1.
The indica is what I do better with on the golf course.
Yeah, that's the one that gets you real
mellows
loose.
Me out a little.
So anyway.
Yeah, I'm on Dominion Skunk.
And Brady wants the passing record.
I thought he meant Dominican there for
a minute. Does Brady want the passing record?
No.
Oh, I think so.
The yardage one? No.
Yeah, I think all the stats matter.
He's not getting the yardage.
So that's
He's
annoying.
Not going to get that one. Since he's 3,000 yards behind.
Since when did it become about numbers with this guy? Like, come on. Don't tell me that's seeped into his thinking.
I'm telling you, I think it's the winning without him that bothers him more. And when I say without him, you know what I mean. A smaller percentage of it. I don't think it's about the stats per se.
You guys last year made a big deal of it. I didn't give a rat's ass. But you, when he knelt forward on the kneel down in the game purposely so it wouldn't screw up the 1,000 yards rushing that he finally got after all these years.
Yeah, but that's goofy.
If he didn't care, he would have fell backwards, so it wouldn't have affected his number. He does care. He wouldn't have done that.
I know, but that's harmless. Going for yards and a record, the rushing thing's just sort of a goofy aside, I think.
All the stats are a goofy aside, as long as you win.
Well,
I think. Like, I don't give a rat's ass about stats.
I've ranted about this for years. I don't care. I want Peyton Manning to have more yards and Brady to have more rings. I like that storyline. I've said that a million times. But if Brady's going to have a hard piece... he'd care more about the yardage record and the touchdown pass record than he would about the rushing record. That's just a goofy aside, I think. But don't tell me now he's like legitimately cares about that.
I'm not sure that is a huge thing for him. I think he wants them. I'm telling you, what he's pissed about is that they don't need him as much.
He's 3,000 behind Breeze
in yardage. If they play the same number of years, he's not going
to
catch
him. No, right. He's going to have to outplay him by a couple. By one. He'll have to play. He'll play one extra year.
Right, but Breeze is 2 years younger.
Okay, well, all I'm saying is Brady will have to play 1 year younger.
Right, so I don't think...
He'll have to play 1 year more.
I don't think he's going to catch Breeze. I don't. If
he keeps playing, he will. And again, he does now have a longevity brand that he's trying to promote with TB12. I think that all matters. He wants to have the best in everything.
I'm telling you, it's the fact that they don't rely on him as much as they did before, and he doesn't like that.
Meanwhile, he threw his young tight ends under the bus yesterday like you've never seen before.
Mike, he didn't just throw them under the bus. He then backed it over them.
Mike in the car on that. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. What's up, guys? So assuming that we can agree that Ben Watson and Brady are friends, and assuming that we can agree that he wouldn't publicly endorse his release, then you need to go back and look at the way that question was articulated. And I feel like he was basically, and you got to think, Brady's asked this question, you know, right on the spot. And she articulated that question like, are you comfortable with these two young tight ends taking Watson's job and doing the duties that he was expected to do upon his return?
That wasn't the question.
Being a buddy, if you look back at it, I think that's pretty much how it was articulated.
No, it wasn't.
I think that's how Brady took it.
So, Mike, maybe Brady took it that way. So, I mean, if you want to give Brady an out and say he was asking or answering it in the context of Watson's not here, this is what you're left with, and that comment was about Watson, not about the others, you can give him that out, but that wasn't the question. Don't tell me that the question is here, the official Patriots.com Patriots release Brady transcript. With Watson gone, are you more comfortable now with Ryan Izzo and Matt LaCoste being able to fill that position? And he says, I'm the quarterback. I don't make those decisions. Who's ever out there, that's who I've got to play with. Okay, so Watson was in the question. If you want to give him that out, I guess you can. But is there a way to support Ben Watson and not completely dismiss and big time your young tight ends?
Sure there is, yeah.
I mean, of course there is. Yes, we're making progress with those young guys. I love Ben. I'm going to miss Ben. As for the others, we're all working hard, and we're making progress every day. So easy. Instead, he would not give an inch to those young guys. An inch.
And the other thing, it's dismissing everything else he has said up to now. When he's asked, about Antonio Brown, I don't make those decisions. He's clearly unhappy with the weaponry. He's clearly unhappy with it. It's okay to admit that. On some level, again, I would be too if I were him. And I look at it and say, you got to be kidding me. If you're Brady, you're looking at it and go, wait a minute. So we bring in Antonio Brown and we let him go, and then we have to lose Demaryius Thomas and Ben Watson on top of it? So now bringing in Antonio Brown costs us three players, and because we mismanaged the cap or whatever, and define it however you want, or we mismanaged the finances, that we had to cut Ben Watson and get rid of Thomas. Like, all of that's coming to a head, and we got nothing now? Like, I can understand him being agitated about it, but let's not pretend that yesterday was solely about Ben Watson.
Final word comes your way next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope. Murray, quickly off. Felger Maz off air show myself and McCarthy at 6 p.m. sharp on Facebook Live. Join us there. It's presented by Ace Ticket.
All right. A little McTakey action with Felger.
Correct.
All right. One piece of sound here in the final word here. This is Felger against Steven on some of the Red Sox stuff that was discussed earlier.
Steve in Boston on the Red Sox and the analytics. Yes, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just want to let you guys know you're a little misinformed about what they use in that particular track, man. I kind of work in the field. And it's not about like spin rate and stuff. What it's being used for is to stop injuries. What we usually do is we.
No, you know, Steve. Before I stop you, that's not what the story indicates. You want me to read you what's in the story? Here's what it says: TrackMan systems by StatCast. StatCast offers data about millions of pitches, precise shapes and velocities, and spin rates in very, very specific locations, and velocity of a pitcher's curveball, and where that pitcher typically can execute it.
I mean, that's the paragraph that, to me, last night when I read it, that sent me over the edge.
Nothing about injuries, Steve. I'm sorry, man. It's about the shape of...
Nathan Ovaldi throws 104, but only when his arm angle is at 3/4. So sit on that and spin, bitch.
Steve, so what they're doing is they're looking at the trajectory of someone's swing path versus the trajectory of someone's pitches, and they're mapping and they're putting that cranky slider versus Justin Verlander's.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to you. Yes, they look at what a pitcher, how he does the same delivery over and over again, and they see if they're putting too much torque on certain areas.
Okay, Steve, I'm just going to cut you off. That's not in the story. So maybe, but if you want to write another story about the trainers doing that, fine. This is about game planning and getting pitchers out. That's what's in the story. That's what we're talking about. That sort of get frustrated, but that's not the focus of the story. It's not why Lavangie's gone.
Also, if I had to guess, I don't know if that frustration was stemming from Steven, the track man guy, as much was the fugitive.
Definitely the fugitive. Oh, yeah. No, Felger is pissed at the fugitive. Yeah, he kept going, no, we're not talking about injuries.
So you know what the best part of that exchange is that you put him on hold, and you explain the whole thing, and he comes back and say, that's what it's about, and he goes, yeah, they're looking to see if he puts too much
torque.
Like what you said, he just completely ignored.
Completely.
It's like, yeah. So they look to see if there's too much torque. After you go through this long explanation.
Exhaustive.
Yeah.
That's why we don't engage the callers.
Oh, God, ever.
Jones,
like,
what?
Don't feed the animals.
What, Jones? What?
In the world is the Sports Hub Ticket Bandit. That's like what that was. It was like Carmen Sandiego today on the show. I was playing along. I was waiting for little cues.
See, I have no idea what you're talking
Me
about.
Me neither. I have no clue. No, but I liked it.
So this couple of olds over here, Jim. Don't know where in the world is Carmen Sandiego.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do it, Rockapella. Yeah. Hey, you know who Rockapella is?
Come on. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
All right, well, you know what we're going to talk about tonight?
Yeah, he plays forward for the Rockets.
I did a little research. Did you know that the franchise the Patriots are playing this week, tomorrow, actually at one point ended an undefeated season for the Patriots? And then there was another Super Bowl, and they won that too? So we're going to do a little history lesson, a little trip down memory lane with Patriots and Giants here tonight.
You are cold. You're cold,
this
man.
Yep. Well, this is what you get, folks. Adam Jones and Arcand. Good luck, Arcan.
Thanks.
No commercial, just an update. Then you get them for a history lesson. We're back at it tomorrow for the pre-game show. Get you ready at 2 o'clock. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.